Proudly presented by Paul Everett's RV Country. This is Hometown Heroes, celebrating everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, visiting today with a 90-year-old Navy veteran who has been called the Naked Cook. That's not some marketing ploy for a TV show or a cookbook. It's a moniker forged for Albert Henderson in the crucible of what would prove to be his last day aboard the aircraft carrier USS Bismarck Sea. February 21st, mm-hmm. 1945.
Yes.
And you guys are over there by Iwo Jima?
Yeah, we're out doing our thing every day. We have to get our ships up and back before dark. Because mm-hmm. We don't have no lights, but now the Saratoga and them, in junction them, they have night fighters. So we're laying off them and we're taking part of their planes because they have wounded birds on there and they can't land until they get them cleared off. And so we're taking their planes. But then we're got overload and we don't have time to degauss all of them. And that's bad because then you got standing gas sitting all over the aircraft and tanks. Mm-hmm. Well, that's death warmed over because don't take much to ignite that fuel.
And, sure. So tell me what happened on that day, February 21st.
It was like any other day. The flight crew and everybody's up early. We had to have early chow for all the guys that worked on airplanes and all the landing gear guys and stuff like that. So they got the special deal up early, a little more of a choice. And no problem because it's just routine. You just do it, good, thanks, see you later, adios, mother, and that's it. But as it start getting a little dusk, then you kind of be concerned because you're still taking planes. Well, we can only hold so many. And then they start taking them down below. Well, then they don't have time to degauss them, and that's bad news. And that wasn't my job, but I knew what was going on. I was all over that ship. When we'd be in port and I'd come back, I'd go to every compartment, everything, know which way to go, what would be open, what wouldn't be. And that was the biggest concern. But I was locked in compartments getting chow ready for the minute we secured because everybody's hungry.
So how did you experience what happened and that moment that all of a sudden what seemed like a routine day became anything but?
Humongous explosion. And I was one deck below the hangar deck, and the next deck down was the magazines. And that was always kind of a sore thing where the galley was and below with gas and then all the 500-pounders and torpedoes and everything, because once they start, it's like firecrackers, one will light another.
So you'd been aware that if you guys had been hit like this, you probably weren't going to make it given where you were.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Got it. You were sitting on a ticking time bomb.
Yeah. So when that happened, I had just secured the chow. I always tried to get ahead of everything in case guys get back quicker, because you can always undo something, but you can't do it if you don't have the time. So when that, well, we have one hatch going to, there's two men in there, the guys to look after things and take care of things. That's their job, damage control. So myself, Art, my buddy, and probably six of us, finishing up. I'd already released a couple of guys, and they went back to another battle station. And they, like I say, they took me off my gun, so I didn't go anymore.
Well, and where your ship was hit on the starboard side was real near one of those 40-millimeter stations.
Yeah, it was completely blown off.
Was that the station that you used to?
That was mine. But it seemed like about a third of that fantail, everything left.
Well, but I mean, my point is, if they hadn't changed that, if they hadn't put you back in the kitchen, you would have been a goner right there, because that's exactly where the kamikaze hit.
And this kid that I give my life preserver to took my place with my life preserver, and that was gone too. So fate, I've always thought fate and God will help you, but in that relationship, you got to do your part. So then when that started, we run over there to grab a fire hose and turned it on. There was no water. Well, then the word come along that it knocked out all of our fire hose in the fire and the whole aft section and the port and starboard side both. Everything was gone. So then the other plane come in and just followed suit. So I was trying to figure, well, what's up, coach? So I told the guys, I said, we're going to have to check that hatch and close that because watertight. A couple places on the deck above the ladders cracked a little bit and gas was running through and it was starting to catch fire coming down the stairs, and that was a little scary because you don't know if it's a airplane there above you, it's whether he's parked all these planes, or if that's the main gas line that's busted.
Mm-hmm.
But there's buku gallons there, meaning lots of gas.
Yeah.
Then I told him we need to go over there and check it out. We asked this one kid come running through there, and I asked him where the other guy was. He's, I don't know. So we couldn't get any water, so we shut it off, and I thought, well, that's not good, but we got to shut that hatch because we're dead stinking fish and we don't get it closed.
Because you need to cut off the explosive risk.
Yes, because mm-hmm. it's you can't hardly stand. So we run over there and dog it down, and nobody come out, so we dogged it down, and just before we got the hatch shut, about halfway, I was standing there, and a big hit me. I didn't know about concussion, but it pushed me and slammed me against the wall with the bulkheads about 8 foot away, and I thought I was dead. We didn't know about that. We didn't have it in the movies them days, those type explosions. Once in a while, a Western would have something, but bodies didn't flow like this. I just, backwards.
Was this the second plane hitting, or was this an explosion as a chain reaction?
That was from our magazines blowing up.
So both planes have hit by now.
Yes.
And it's starting to set off different explosive material aboard
right.
the ship.
Uh-huh.
So an explosion happens.
Down in where all the ammunition dumped. Was.
And what did it feel like?
Just this compressed air. Like I say, until later in life, I didn't. And then I watched movies and see yeah. where guys hit and blow up, and I thought, whoa.
So you got blown into a wall.
Yeah, and I thought I must be dead because that hurt so bad. But see, I didn't know whether to lay on the floor or what, but you really don't have time to think. Either do it, done it, or should have.
Right.
So that was what really hurt so bad. And then I got up. I was all right. And so I said, well, we got to get out of here. And everybody concurred. We're going to go down all the way forward and topside. You can't go in the hangar deck or the other compartments because that's where all the fire was. So I knew how to get everywhere. Like I say, I'd been every place in that ship. And they had battle lanterns. You're not supposed to touch them. But anyway, they brought this kid up from the engine room. He's injured pretty bad. And the guy was just exhausted carrying him up, and then he laid him there. And I said, we'll get you topside. And so everybody took hold, and then we got up there, and then we went to the island. That's where we laid him down, and we all thought he was gone. But we still thought, that's great, we got him here. And that son of a gun raised up and said, don't leave me, fellas.
Mm.
That kills you. Absolutely. What are you going to do?
Right. Here, you thought he was dead.
Yeah, and then he says that, well, naturally, but how are you going to take care of him? You can't take care of yourself. I didn't even have any life belt.
And you don't know how to swim.
Yeah, well, in the water like that, swimming is not all that great because you'd be up and down like a yo-yo and it'll slam you back. I got off the ship twice, it threw me back on twice. But I kept thinking, I'm going to get off of here. I said, I'll go aboard the aircraft. There's always this one-man rafts back of the pilot. And you just pull this one button and flip it out. I go and jump on the first one, I pump it back, and it's gone. I think, gosh, that's strange. So about the third one, and then I got the message. They're all gone. So I said, that's okay. Sick bay, I was there a couple months ago, and there's a bin outside the door. It's got all these life preservers in for all guys in sick bay. They never know how many's going to be there. I was myself in there for 4 or 5 days. So I go up there, and the bin was completely empty. And I can't believe, hey, God, I need a life belt. So I go outside and back, and I told my buddy Art, I says, you stay here. I'll be right back, but I'm going to be gone. And I says, it's going to take me a little time, but I'll hurry, but you stay here. I will.
And is there fire still burning all over the place, too?
Oh, yes, in the backside. You can't go that way at all, period.
Right.
And things will take off and blast away. I get back out there, and my buddy Art's gone. And I holler, and of course, you start to holler, and the explosion goes off, and you can't hear nothing. At the time, you think you're doing all right.
So Art had stayed with the wounded sailor, but now they're both gone?
Yes, both gone. So I still was concerned because I've got to get off of there. I've got to have something to float on. And I'm thinking about my odds. If I go down below, no chance. Where would I go? Where would there be even a life preserver? So I thought, well, that's okay. I'll make do without. So I'm there pondering, and I know already that I can't go off on the starboard side because that'll take the pass where all these explosions are. And we got a destroyer escort coming up, coming almost, but he won't come close because he's afraid of getting shot with our own torpedoes through his ship from our fire in the magazine.
Right, because stuff's just going off randomly.
So he cuts off, and he just gets up a little bit ahead, and then he has to shut out all his light, and he takes off. Well, the Japanese planes are coming back, and they're strafing guys in the water. So I thought, good deal. This is really great. That's when I proceeded to make myself life preservers anyway. I took my shoes and saved the laces, and so I was going to tie my legs and make it wet and float. And the big wave, I just got down the rope ladder, and I'm there all gung-ho, and I'm up and down like this, and the wave carried me up, and my hands go up, and I lost my britches and my shoelaces. Well, I didn't have underclothes on for a reasoning. It's too hot when we're in battle because you have to control that. They need all the energy to run the ship.
Right.
So a lot of electrical components, they shut off, and air conditioning in, per se.
Yeah.
Anyway, I thought, okay, so I thought I'll just use the shirt. So I done the same thing, the shirt tied thing. I didn't have my string anymore, so I just tied knots. We had to wear a long sleeve shirt, but I didn't have any undershorts or shorts on because it was hot. I figured, well, that's going to help a lot, and it did. But here I am, naked as jaybird, which is, I didn't care. Who's going to look? Peek-a-boo. But anyway, seemed ironic, and I got in the water again on it, down the rope ladder right there, and it threw me clear up, almost the middle of the deck, clear up on the forecastle.
So this is twice now you've tried to get off the ship, but the waves knocked you further back onto the ship.
But I didn't want to get off on that side because you're going to float back where it's blowing off. About a third of the ship just disappeared.
Right.
And I thought, well, coach, you know better than that. You got to go down this side and around. But I couldn't get off on the other side, so I got back. That's where I went, to the bow, right up there.
So that's the third time now.
Yeah. And
you're naked.
Yeah, and colder than, well, man, it was cold. But I didn't have time to worry with it.
But did you hold on to your shirt this time, or did it
no,
fly
I
away?
No, I lost it.
So you lost your pants, trying to use that as a life preserver. You lost your shirt.
And
now you got nothing.
Got nothing. A ruptured belly button, probably. But outside of that, nothing. So I get up there, and I keep thinking, well, I'm going to wait here to the last minute because I can't swim, and it's too rough. You couldn't swim anyway, so I didn't really miss it. But I'll dog paddle. That's fine. But I hadn't planned on doing it by the hour because I had done it in swimming pools by the hour, but I'd always reach over and grab the bank when the coach wasn't watching. And one time he turned around, I'm really going like crazy. First thing you know, I'm just up there on the bow. And a lot of things you read, the ship rolled over and sank. Well, that's not really exactly true. From the ship being blown that much at the back, it was filling up water. That ship's practically the whole bow clump out of the water. Not quite, but higher and higher, and I'm looking at it like, what's going on now? Get away from the ship. The suction's going to pull you down. We've been taught that tooth and nail. Every time we take swimming lessons, no matter where it was, jump from the tower, 1, 2, 3, push. And all that, you still remember that. So that was our big concern, but not thinking that the water's gradually going to go up there, but all of a sudden it's more and more and more. It's not going to be any suction left because it's already full of water. But it did force the bow up because the water's back here making the tail heavy.
Right. So the tail's going into the water. The bow is poking up vertically out of the water.
Yeah, and I'm looking up at that thing, and I thought, well, man, if that comes down, I got to get out of here. So that's when I played like it must be 2 or 3 dogs because I really dog paddled in.
And we're going to leave you there, dog paddling in the Pacific for a moment because it's time for our final break. When we come back, how Mr. Henderson was rescued, the perspective he has on his ordeal now, and the flag raising atop Iwo Jima's Mount Suribachi. He saw it when it happened, and he got to visit the larger-than-life statue of it thanks to Honor Flight. Check out the photos and videos at hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes Facebook page, and we'll be right back after this.